And I read the start of Romans 13. And the start of the chapter looks like this. It says, "Let every person submit himself to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God. And those that exist are put in place by God. So whoever opposes the authority has resisted God's direction. And those who have resisted will bring judgment on themselves. For leaders cause no fear for good behavior, but for bad. Now, if you do not want to fear the authority, do what is good, and you will get his approval. For he is God's servant to you for your good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not carry the sword for no reason. For he is God's servant, an avenger who inflicts punishment on the evildoer. Therefore, it is necessary to be in submission, not only because of punishment, but because of conscience." So I named the message today, Punishment or Conscience? And it kind of is the question, why do you follow Torah? Why do you follow the instructions? Why do you follow Adonai? Do you do it for fear of the punishment, or do you do it for your own conscience? Rav Shaul states that we are to submit to human authority in our lives, not just because of the punishment that can be expected when we're out of line with authority from above, but because Scripture tells us it's the right thing to do. We're called to be humble before all, and we're also told that those above us are there by divine appointment. They've been placed there by Adonai, that that's what they're there to do. In fact, Proverbs 8:14-15 says this, "Counsel and sound wisdom are mine. I have understanding and power. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice." Many times when we hear these verses, in fact, we don't normally hear these verses, we hear verse 15. But I wanted to put together verse 15 and 14 to this today, because there's something to learn there. Because it says, it is he has understanding. He being Adonai, he has understanding and power that he can place the right people in the right places with the right authority that we're called to trust in that authority. And since they were placed by Adonai, not submitting to them is the same as not submitting to Adonai. Even Yeshua knew this. When we read in John, the little back and forth that goes on between Yeshua and Pilate, this is what happened. John 19:10 says, "So Pilate said to him," Yeshua, "you aren't speaking to me? Don't you know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?" Yeshua answered, "You would have no authority over me if it hadn't been given to you from above. For this reason, the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." Yeshua knew that all power and authority that men have here on earth is because of what was decided in the heavenlies, Adonai. He's the one who gives authority. So he says to submit to them, not because of the fear of punishment that may be dealt out, but because of your conscience towards Adonai, towards God. How much more true is this than when we're dealing with God and his instructions? We're to follow the instructions of his word, not because we should fear punishment when we don't, but because of our conscience that we should have towards him. When we don't follow the instructions as laid out, there will be consequences. Or some would think of them as punishments, but they're not really punishments. And we shouldn't do them, even if we think of them that way, because of the fear of the punishment, but because our conscience and the fear of Adonai. And when I say fear of Adonai, don't think of fear as the world thinks of fear, right? We're not afraid of what's going to happen if we step out of line. That's not why we should be doing the right thing. But the fear that indicates a respect that is due to him, that he deserves. We don't step out of line because of fear of Adonai, the respect to Adonai. Now, before I go much further, I want to put a couple of definitions out there today. I found online the definition for punishment, and it says it this way. Punishment, the act of punishing. No duh. You know, when I was in school and had to look up definitions in the dictionary, and some of us are old enough to remember flipping those pages, I hated that kind of thing. But wait, it goes on. Suffering, pain, or loss that serves as retribution. A penalty inflicted on an offender through judicial process, procedure. Three, severe, rough, or disastrous treatment. That's the definition of punishment. You get the idea. It's tough stuff. And there are those that would look at the acts of Adonai towards those that sin as punishment. Actually, they're all acts to drive a proper heart attitude and action towards Adonai. Some would point to Adam and Eve, that their removal from the garden was an act of punishment. But what's really occurred since then? The giving of scripture by Adonai, that is an act of bringing us back into his presence and to the garden, which many people would call heaven. Into his presence. The removal of Adam and Eve, although viewed as a punishment, kept them from being destroyed by being sinful in his presence, but also allowing for the playing out of scripture to bring men back to Adonai. That's really the point of all scripture, to bring men back into his presence, back into his good graces, so that we can stand before him eternally, before his throne. That's the purpose of all of scripture. Now you got to think about this for a moment. There were really three before Adonai in the story of Adam and Eve, right? There was Adam, there was Eve, there was Satan in the form of the serpent. Three before Adonai, when punishment, what people believe as punishment, was handed down. Adam and Eve represented all of mankind. And they're removed, but men were given a chance to come back into Adonai's presence. It was a corrective action to remove them from the garden. But Satan was not given that same chance back. Being an angel, a fallen angel, as he was, angels are never given a way back when they sin. Never given a way back from their fallen state. Why? Luke 12 tells us a little bit about that. Luke 12:48. But the one who did not know and did things worthy of a beating will be whipped lightly. But to everyone given much, much will be required. And from the one from whom more is provided, all the more will be asked of him. Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan when they sinned. But Satan was an angel. He wasn't deceived. He was rebellious. He was rebellious because of his hubris. He was rebellious because of his pride. Pride caused his fall. And Adonai did not cause a redemption for the ones who should know better. But they acted incorrectly, these fallen angels, unacceptably. The angels were to know better. They had direct contact with Adonai, with God. But they did not. But there's the third that were fallen, didn't act correctly. They're never given the way back to Adonai. But for men, throughout Scripture, when Adonai has taken action to correct, he's also offered a way back into his presence. There were those that say that Israel was being punished by being exiled into the land, out of the land. But no. Removal from the promised land were consequences and should be seen as acts to drive them to take corrective steps so that they can get back to Adonai. When we read the prophecies of Israel being taken out of the land, it was always first a warning. And actually, that was never really a promise, right? There were warnings. If you don't change, this is going to happen. Almost always put that way. But after that warning, then the promise came. The promise is that when they turn back to Adonai, away from their evil, away from their sin, they will be brought back into the loving arms of Adonai and brought back into the promised land. Punishment does not promise a return. Corrective actions always promise a return. And Adonai always deals with corrective actions, with the exception of blasphemy, it says. But when we look at the sinner's death and the separation from Adonai for all eternity, I don't see that as a punishment, but as a consequence that they were warned about through Scripture and warned about, should be warned about by the testimony of believers to them, by the sharing of faith. It's really unfair to share and tell them only the good things. Hey, there's always this great stuff over here. You kind of have to tell them the other side as well. It's kind of unfair if you don't. So, for unbelievers, when they die, take their last breath, could be seen as a punishment because there's no way back. Yeah, I know. But I also know the desire of Adonai that all would be saved. So it wasn't because of his punishment. These are just consequences when they wouldn't be saved. Because they wouldn't change before entering into eternity. And therefore, they're separated from Adonai, from his love, from his mercy for all eternity. What happens when you're separated from Adonai? The absolute opposite of being in his presence. There's pain. There's gnashing of teeth. It's not just a little discomfort. It's awful. This is why it's important to accept Messiah now. Because there will be a time when it's too late. And we don't know what that time is for each person. Wouldn't it be so much easier if we each had an expiration date on us? Maybe a little date right across here. Oh, that's okay. You got time. Don't worry. You know, Here's the truth, but you got time. I see your expiration date. Mm. The problem is, it could happen just as quickly as a bus going down the road before it hits that unexpected person. You have to take the opportunity while you're still breathing. Because once you stop breathing and you don't know when that is, it's going to be too late. You have to accept Messiah this side of your last breath, not the other side of your last breath. So that's punishment. Let's define conscience. Definition of conscience. That's where we are. Conscience is a person's inner sense of right and wrong given by God. When working properly, it reminds people of their obligation to God, warning them when they're doing wrong or excusing them when they wrongly feel guilt about something. Because human beings are made in God's image, they reflect the moral standards of Adonai. Nevertheless, conscience is not infallible. It was given by God, but not to cause us to act in a certain way, not to force us to act in a certain way, but to help us in our free will to choose the right way to act. Now, I've been told that in Hebrew, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I've been told that in Hebrew, there's no word for conscience. So you won't find it in the Tanakh anywhere. However, it is expressed in other words, sometimes spoken by, spoken as of a heart or spirit. We see this example in 2 Samuel 24 when David counted the men of Israel without instruction from Adonai. And this is what it says. This is what it says. Change screens. Maybe I changed the wrong battery. I need to change this battery. Rabbi Son, you're going to have to do it from back there. I'm sorry. Now. Okay, maybe I've got it now. Maybe you kicked it in. Okay, thank you. 2 Samuel 24:10. But David's heart troubled him after he had numbered the people. So David prayed to Adonai, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now, Adonai, please take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have acted very foolishly. Rabbi Singh, would you take over? I'm going to turn this thing off. Get us back on the titles wide. David's heart troubled him, meaning that his conscience accused him. His conscience told him he did wrong and spoke to him. A little too late, but it did speak to him. Conscience, like all things of human nature, have been affected by sin. Therefore, its promptings are sometimes distorted. And even when a person's conscience is right, people sometimes push it down and don't listen to it due to their own unrighteousness. This is why Shaul gives us a warning about it through the letter that he wrote to Titus. So we're on Titus 1:15. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. Both their mind and conscience are defiled. They claim to know God, but their deeds deny him. They are despicable and disobedient and worthless for any good deed. For the ones who've been defiled, and look, I think that's all of us, you know, in some part, minds and conscience are defiled, and therefore nothing can be trusted. This is the reason that we should say that we want to follow the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, rather than our conscience. Yes, our conscience will lead the believer in the right direction most of the time, especially for a believer. However, there will be times that even our conscience will not be correct because our thinking is not always correct. That's not a slap in the face. That's just the truth about what flesh is. Flesh is flesh. It's just the truth. And we're not always in control of our flesh. Therefore, we're not always thinking correctly. Therefore, our conscience may not always be correct. Even if only temporarily, this is why we don't trust our conscience, but always trust the Ruach. Now, the second thing is that not all things that appear to be a problem is actually a problem with Adonai. But it becomes a perception of a problem with us and our conscience. Adam and Eve were naked before the original sin. But it was only after their sin that they became conscious of what's called the sin of nakedness. But they really became self-conscious about their nakedness. If nakedness was a sin, they would never have been naked in the first place. So that idea that once they ate the fruit and became conscious of their nakedness, that was the sin, that wasn't a sin. That was just their self-consciousness coming upon them. Once they were defiled, they placed their own rules upon themselves. Adonai helped them out by covering them. But I don't think that was the sin. He was helping them from their own self-consciousness. Their own self-consciousness did what? It further separated them from Adonai. So the issuing of punishment is sometimes self-imposed, we see there. Adonai does not always impose correction, but he does want to, but he never imposes punishment. And just as Adonai does not want us to self-impose punishment, he will not allow the world to impose punishment either. If we follow, if we have a clean conscience, if we do what we know to be right, if we follow Torah. The example is found in Daniel when King Nebuchadnezzar made a royal decree that all who heard his music must fall down and worship the golden image of his God. But the three children of Israel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to follow that edict. The king gave them one more chance, you might remember, to avoid the punishment by disregarding their own conscience. Daniel 3:16 says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king saying, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to answer you concerning this matter. If it is so, our king, whom we serve, is able to save us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. Yet even if he does not, let it be known, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image that you set up. We see that the conscience of the Jewish men overrode their fear of punishment by men. And this gave Adonai a chance to show his great love, his mercy, his power towards them. He also demonstrated this in Matthew 10. Yeshua was preparing the 12 disciples to go out and witness for him. And he said these words before they left, Matthew 10:26, starting there. So do not fear them. For there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed, and nothing hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear in your ear, proclaim at the door, at the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Instead, fear the one who is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Yeshua says that men can kill the body, but don't fear them. Adonai can destroy both soul and body and condemn to hell. And therefore, the one and only should be feared. Only Adonai. Go speak the good in a good conscience to everybody. And don't fear the punishment of men. That's what they're being told. Don't fear punishment. It all comes down to this. Do you follow Adonai or do you follow men? And do you follow because you fear the punishment or because of your conscience? If you follow man because you fear the punishment or because of a false sense of conscience, you'll be lost for eternity. If you follow Adonai because you fear the punishment, well, okay. That's a reason, but it shouldn't be a reason because you shouldn't have to worry about the punishment if you are following him. And that punishment is really just a correction. Even at that, there is a way back. All you have to do is be back on his path. Turn back to him. Ask the Ruach. Ruach, help me get back to the path you want me on. But what we all should be following, the reason we all should be following the instructions, the Torah, the prophets, the writing, yeah, even the Brit Hadashah, is because of our conscience. Adonai wants us to love, and he wants to love us. And if we believe that and follow him, then we should have no fear of correction or punishment. Therefore, we should follow due to our conscience. Anyone who says, I'm following God because I don't want to end up in hell. I'm following God because lightning bolts will come down from heaven. I'm following God because things go wrong when I don't. Well, yeah, but he's not punishing. Those are corrections. I got to tell you, a lightning bolt sounds like a heck of a correction. But I can also say, I've never really heard of a lightning bolt coming down on anybody. So, on that one. Therefore, we follow Adonai because of our conscience. We follow Adonai because he's good and merciful. We follow Adonai because we want to be with him now and for all eternity. A conscience that tells us to do right by him, to act rightly, and to share it with everyone is what we should have. Following because we're scared is not his desire for us. Following him because you fear the Lord is what he asks of us. Fear as in reverence, fear as in trust. Fear is in a wholehearted love, which is what he wants from us, because it's what we can expect from him. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We thank you for your wholehearted love towards us. We thank you that we can trust you. That's our fear towards you, our trust to you, our reverence towards you. Father, we proclaim today that we are following you not because of the punishment that the world thinks is going to come upon them. Oh, if I don't. We follow you because of our conscience and want and our love of you. Everything we do is for you. Everything we get from you serendipitous, just a byproduct, not what we chase after. We chase after only you. We chase after your face, not your hand. We chase after knowing you better, really not to get things. So Ruach HaKodesh, help us to maintain our walk on the path, your path, the one that goes directly, straight to Adonai, the one that will ensure our eternity is with you, the one that we know is love and merciful. We thank you and praise you in Yeshua's name, and everyone said, Amen.